Len Zeme, the PGA Championship is underway at Kiawah, and we've had some exciting golf the first day. Right now, Corey Connors is the first-round leader, 5 under par 67. He's in the clubhouse. Keegan Bradley, who has won a PGA Championship, is tied for second with Victor Hovland at 3 under par, but there's a couple other 3 under pars in there, including Brooks Koepka, who's won this championship twice. He's playing slightly injured yet with that knee, but he's 3 under par. And 2015 runner-up in the Western Amateur at Rich Harvest Farms, Aaron Wise, also at 3 under par. So, and then you can throw more people in there. You got Sam Horsfield, who was the runner-up at the 2016 Western Amateur at Knollwood. He's at 3 under par in the clubhouse, so there is some exciting action at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, you know, it's awfully early, and these kind of players, traditionally, if they're going to make an early move, they'll make that early move. Horsfield, of course, was the guy that got beat, and really one of the most dramatic Western Amateurs. He got beat by Dylan Meyer, the Illinois player, who was a very great amateur player and has yet to blossom quite the same in the pro ranks. But it was a good first round over there at Kiawah. I'm not sure it's not over yet. There's still some surprises. I'm glad to see that that our guy Brad from Hersey, that he made a Merrick from Hersey made a run and is doing very well on the club pro front. I think that it's great that Kevin Streelman is hanging tough on the PGA. He's the only PGA Tour player with Chicago connections in the field. I think it's great that he's doing well, and I think we've got a great next 3 days ahead of us.
Well, Len, it should be real exciting, and I'm looking forward to just enjoying some of the golf the next few days and watching South Carolina golf style there. There we go. You know, it's Charleston. You know, you look at South Carolina golf, and it revolves kind of around Myrtle Beach, Charleston, Hilton Head, all of the coastline of the state. Now, that doesn't mean there's not good golf inside the state, but when you look at the state's best courses, it seems like a lot of them, like the Ocean Course, snuggle up along the ocean.
Well, you know, they call it the Low Country, and you're absolutely right. It's a different style of golf. Architecture there, not bad, not necessarily better than any place else, but it's the style that has to be dealt with this week, and it's fun to watch it. I've liked all the courses that I've played there over the years. Kiawah being one of the first and foremost. I wish that we had gotten to play there. We played there in 2014 on a trip, and you know it was a good trip, but. The day the Kiawah, that the Ocean Course was on our schedule, it was a cold, rainy day, and I think you experienced a similar situation another year there. I'd like to play that under good conditions, which I think that there'll be some pretty good conditions, a lot better than what I faced there, as the PGA continues this week.
Well, I know what it's like to arrive at Kiawah at nighttime, and it's 78 degrees out. People are outside dining on patios, and get up the next morning, and it's 42 when I'm teeing off on the Ocean Course, and it was down to 37 degrees by the time I finished. So it was nice to come in the clubhouse, sit and have lunch next to the fireplace with a adult beverage that was designed to help warm me up, and I believe it did. So, but, you know, Len, you know, South Carolina golf, there's a lot of good golf in South Carolina, and obviously – Kiawah will get the attention this week, and rightfully so, but you and I have been to Hilton Head, you and I have been to Myrtle Beach, and, you know, there's a lot of great golf up and down the coastline of South Carolina, and of course, on the radio show Saturday afternoon, we're looking forward to Myrtle Beach Golf Ambassador Charlie Reimer, who does some radio work. He's got a program now at CBS. He's going to be joining us on the show to tell us a little bit more about Myrtle Beach and South Carolina golf. Should be a great segment. But, Len, you've played your share of golf in South Carolina, and there's a lot of good golf there.
You know, I'm a big fan of Myrtle Beach, simply because there's so many good courses there. There's about 100 courses in the greater Myrtle Beach area. There's a lot of lodging. There's a lot of good restaurants. You can afford to be there. Of course, one of my favorite events of them all is the World Amateur Handicap Championship, which I've been in twice. It's got the world's largest 19th hole. It's just a great place for golf. The atmosphere is just terrific there. It's a vacation golf spot, no doubt about it. They've got the beach atmosphere there. You know, I'm looking forward to going back there. I'm not exactly sure when I'll get there this year, but I'm thinking of maybe trying to play in that event again. It's been a busy year for me, as it has for all of us. But Myrtle Beach, I tell you, I don't think all our Chicago people realize how much fun and how good Myrtle Beach golf is. I hope more of them take advantage of it.
Len, we got an announcement today on the Illinois Women's Open, and it's going to be during the middle of that week after the 4th of July, the same week as the John Deere Classic. But I think the Illinois Women's Open will wrap up in time for people to see the final round at Mistwood and then perhaps get in the car and head out to TPC Deer Run. There should be more fans allowed in than the current number. We know things are opening up here in Illinois, and let's hope that's the case for the 50th anniversary of the PGA Tour in the Quad Cities.
I certainly intend to be at both the Illinois Women's Open and the John Deere Classic. No question about it. I'm glad that both those events could not be held last year because of pandemic concerns. But I'm excited about their return. That, to me, is a very big part of the return to normalcy that all of us have been hoping for. If you're in a golfer, you want to be in Illinois, you want to see both those events, and I certainly intend to do just that.
Of course, we have some schedule conflicts that week with a couple tournaments that we both like to get to in the same week, and I think the Illinois Women's Open has been moved up because Mistwood is also hosting the Illinois State Amateur a couple weeks later, closer to the dates where the Illinois Women's Open would normally be. Mm-hmm. And in speaking to Mistwood golf pro Nicole Giray the other day, she said that unfortunately, I think qualifying at the National Women's Club Professional on the PGA side, and the top players there get to go into the Cape Women's KPMG, Women's PGA Championship, either that or she, if she qualifies at Midlothian, that's the week of the U.S. Senior Women's Open. So unfortunately, it appears that the PGA of America and the USGA sort of have their signals crossed on overlapping dates there.
Terrible scheduling. If I was Nicole, I'd want to take a shot in the U.S. Senior Women's Open for sure. I mean, she hasn't. I don't think she's made her mark in that one yet, but can't deny it. I'm pulling for Nicole, especially in the Illinois Women's Open. She's trying to win it in three different decades. Last year, she made a great run at it. She's playing against college kids, players that are, half her age, and she's holding her own. And it'd just be a terrific story if Nicole could get the job done.
Len, in the world of architecture, there's been some news this week. First of all, the ASGCA, the American Society of Golf Course Architects, has announced that Ben Crenshaw and Bill Corr will win their primary award, the Donald Ross Award, that'll be presented at their annual meetings coming up a little later this year. And we congratulate Bill and Ben on that. And at the same time, the association lost one of its senior members, somebody who's designed a lot of golf courses, Arthur Hills, who passed away, I believe, at 91.
Yeah, Arthur Hills, I tell you, he has three Chicago courses. And they're spread across the area pretty good. Bowling Brook on the south, Chicago Highlands in the kind of the middle of the Chicago area, and Stonewall Orchard on the north. He's a great architect, but, and he's going to be overshadowed in his generation by all the wonderful things Pete Dye did. But Arthur Hills is, I just played another one of Arthur Hills' courses today out in Florida. He's more specialized in doing residential areas, courses in residential areas, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the heart of the game, golf in the neighborhoods and stuff like that. And not all of his courses are good. He's used to having one bad hole on his courses, one bad hole or one goofy hole or one controversial hole. It's not a bad thing to have that because it calls attention to the work that you've done, but Arthur Hills has done over 200 courses, not just in the U.S., but in several foreign countries. And he should go down. Well, he won't be as famous as Pete Dye. He should go down as one of the very great architects, certainly of our generation. He was prominent, especially in the Ohio and Michigan area. And, you know, he's a Midwest guy, always lived there, but did a lot of work elsewhere. So he's a loss. He's a big loss to architecture.
Well, some years back, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, Arthur Hills and his assistant, Steve Forrest, at that point, Arthur was getting up there a little bit. So Steve Forrest did the heavy lifting, but Arthur was also on site at both the Naperville Country Club and the Ruth Lake Country Club in Hinsdale, checking out some renovation work as well. I know I've played a few Arthur Hills courses. I love the Arthur Hills, the Hills course up at Boyne in northern Michigan. And also had the chance to play, and I think the course has a different name now, but it was at the time, it was the golf course for the Longaberger Basket Company that was about 20 miles east of Columbus. And outstanding golf course there as well. And I have to say that I really enjoyed those courses by Arthur Hills. Bay Harbor, of course, up there at Boyne is another good one. So there's plenty of good Arthur Hills courses to play out there. And you're right. Sometimes people would say that Arthur's work would get tainted a little bit because he'd put together courses with 17 outstanding holes and one that you have to ask yourself or ask Art, what were you thinking? But anyway, a lot of great work by him. And I have to say I've enjoyed playing his golf courses over the years. Len, we were talking about South Carolina. We're talking about Kiowa, the PGA. Apparently some news coming out this afternoon that the officials from this potential alternative startup tour that is throwing anywhere from $20 to $50 million at some players, the one that the commissioner, Jay Monahan, has spoke out against, not wanting any of his membership to join this tour. But apparently their officials showed up and used the opportunity to speak with the player agents on Tuesday of many of the top players of the game to make sure that their players had all the information they need. And people are wondering if this tour gains some fuel, gains some speed this week with their people there saying everything's in order and we just want everybody to know that. And they had a huge meeting apparently with many of the player agents.
Yeah, you know, this was very significant, I think, today that they actually, the budding new tour made its presence known right in the middle of a major American championship, a major world championship. They mean business, and I don't think it's bad for golf at all. I think that, you know, the players who, you know, Jay Monahan is trying to protect his own tour and what's already there. But who's to say that new ideas wouldn't help benefit the sport? I mean, things like that have benefited the sport over the years. There's been a lot of new things. Golf has been a changing game, and at first I kind of poo-pooed this talk about a new tour. I'm thinking, well, they can't get very many players. The ones they'll get will be the older guys, and that'll be that. But now I'm not so sure. Now I'm going to follow that story all the more carefully than I ever have in the past. I kind of think that something good can come out of it.
Well, Len, the biggest question that I would want to know if I'm a player is, when does your tour start? How many events are you going to have? Where are we going to play? What kind of top-notch courses have you secured for the events? And I would want to know that. I'm sure a tour throwing that kind of money around could attract some top-notch clubs, but you have to wonder at this point where they would be. And one of our top-notch clubs here in town is gearing up to host the Korn Ferry Tour next week. Len, the Evan Scholars Invitational will start probably first big professional tournament in town this year, and we'll be anxious to see who that field will be when it tees off next Thursday. But apparently most of the top 25 on the Korn Ferry Tour will be playing.
This is going to be a very important event for our Chicago guys. We have had a very strong Chicago contingent on the Korn Ferry Tour this year, maybe the strongest ever on that tour. We've got Nick Hardy and Dylan Wu, the former Northwestern player, on the brink of sticking in the top 25. And if they can do it through the rest of the season, they're PGA Tour players next year. And, of course, Vince India has been trying a long time. So is Brad Hopfinger, Andy Pope. The DA Points is coming up, is trying to make a comeback. This is a hometown tournament for a lot of these guys. And I'm thinking that this tournament, it could be that this tournament, being in Illinois, being kind of home ground for a lot of these guys who are trying to really make it on the PGA Tour, this tournament could really trigger their finish to their season. It's a very important event there that the Western Golf Association is putting on at the Glen Club, and I'm especially interested in how Vince India will do. I mean, he has won the Illinois Open there, and Nick Hardy, for that matter, too. He's been runner-up in an Illinois Open there, so they certainly know the course. This is a great opportunity for them to have that great big finish that both of them really need if this is the year that they are going to crack the PGA Tour.
Len, you mentioned a couple of guys who we also know them for their great college golf careers, and college golf has been in the news here in the last week as the regionals have happened for both the men and the women. That is, unless you're a women's team playing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where you get rained out and they just announce that we're not going to play in the teams that were seeded, the top six out of the 18 or so that are here, are just going to go to the Nationals and everyone else can put their clubs away, which didn't go over very well. But in regards to the Big Ten, the Illinois men took second at the Oklahoma State Stillwater Regional and have moved on to Arizona for the 13th straight year, only trailing Texas in that streak. The other Big Ten men's teams, none of them advanced. That included Northwestern and Indiana, Iowa. Ohio State, unfortunately, missed out by two shots down in Florida, moving on to the national championship. We had some interesting news, Len, out of the Indiana regional there at the Jack Nicklaus designed, I believe, Sycamore Club. And the individual winner was from Purdue. Cole Bradley, I believe, and his dad, Rob Bradley, is the head coach of Purdue. And he rallied with five birdies on the back nine to win the individual championship. And he will get a chance to move on to the Nationals and enjoy some time at Greyhawk with his dad, the coach.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy for Illinois, and I'm happy for the Purdue golfer who's also moving on. But, you know, this has been, I feel like this has really been a downer week. I mean, this was a very poor showing by the other than Illinois, by the rest of the Big Ten teams. And the women's world of golf, that was an unbelievable thing of just calling off a regional and saying six teams, you move on. I mean, that's not how that's terrible planning. Terrible thinking. I mean, that's not how you should have moved the tournament, given them a chance to play somewhere else, and at least it's been very unfair to those players. So I don't feel very good about this last week on the men's side because of the poor showing by the Big Ten teams. Loyola was last in its regional. It's been a big plus that Loyola qualified for the NCAA finals, but still. And of course, the Big Ten teams, Northwestern, didn't do so well at all. In its regional, it's for far as local golf is concerned, this wasn't the greatest week for college play.
Well, Len, you talked a little bit about the ladies there. Of course, there was better news for the Big Ten. Michigan, Michigan State, and Maryland's women's golf teams are all advancing to the national championship. So there will be more Big Ten schools playing on the women's side in a shorter field because the men's national championship has 30 schools and the women's national championship has 24 schools that play in it. So better news for the Big Ten there overall for the conference on the women's side. And unfortunately for Northwestern, they did not qualify out at the Stanford Regional. Their top player, Irene Kim, who we're going to see at the Arnold Palmer Cup at Rich Harvest Farms, she was 5 under par after the first 2 days, sitting in fourth place. And she would have gone on as an individual, but unfortunately blew up and shot an 8-over par 79 in the final round and fell down to 24th. So for the spring, the ladies Wildcats team, a really good team, I believe ranked in the top 30 in the country, has gone home already.
Yeah, I tell you, we've got to find a way to get the women's teams in our area playing a bit better. They really should be. Illinois is a hard act to follow as far as the men go. I mean, whatever the school is, keeping up with Mike Small's performance with his men's team is a tough way to go. But I saw watch Northwestern play at Rich Harvest Farms in the NCAA women's finals a while back, and they did very well. They went to the final match before losing. So it's not that it can't be done, but the lack of consistency on the women's side in the Midwest college ranks leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, Len, a couple of closing notes here. First of all, down in Indiana, Loyola was there, the men's team, and they finished 13th in the 13-team field. And Notre Dame, I believe, was 8th down in Oklahoma, where Illinois was. So the Fighting Irish and the Loyola Ramblers will not be advancing to the national championships either. They were two other sort of area schools that were participating in the regionals. And also some news that you and I have talked about, the clubhouse construction boom going on the public course side. And it appears that the Settlers Hill clubhouse, there's apparently a lot of meetings to be had, permits to be obtained. And now it's looking like construction on that clubhouse will not start until 2022. And the golf course will open next summer, but probably be working out of a trailer or still using the current clubhouse until the new one gets built and opened. And there is a possibility that new clubhouse at Settlers Hill might not open until 2023.
Well, that wouldn't be the end of the world. It's great that that Greg Martin could hopefully get the Settlers Hill golf course up and running ahead of time. And that's going to be, once it's all done, that's going to be a big positive for golfers in that area. I mean, that was a pretty decent course before, and I know that he'll only improve it. We've had a lot of good things happen in the last few months, despite the pandemic and golf wise. We're going to get a new clubhouse at Oak Meadows. The old Sportsman's is going to, whenever it's done, it won't be all that long. It'll be a terrific addition to the Chicago golf scene. It's been an overall positive thing. I can't get these things done all that fast, but once they're done, we're going to celebrate them. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, Len, in closing, we have a note from the CDGA that another Arlington Heights golfer playing some good golf this week. Congratulations to Ryan Kowalski of Arlington Heights. Plays most of his golf at the Mount Prospect Golf Club. It was the winner of the 6th annual CDGA Mid-Amateur Championship, and he ended up winning his championship match 3-2 over David Keenan from Champaign, who plays out of the Lincolnshire Fields Country Club. So congratulations to Ryan Kowalski of Arlington Heights, and we're going to spend the next few days, hopefully all the way to Sunday, cheering on Brad Merrick from Arlington Heights, who attended Hersey High School and played golf on the Indiana University golf team as he competes at the PGA Championship at Kiowa. Len, unless you've got anything else, we'll wrap it for the week.
I think we covered a lot of ground. Bring on the rest of this PGA Championship.